number 40, which I'm dedicating to the great former Chicago Bull, Dave Corzine. I am Andrew, joined by Ben, also known as Arcane.
Hello.
And John, better known as Just Me.
Better known. That's good.
Better known, yeah. I don't know where I pulled that one from, but...
Hi, I'm John, but you may know me by the tattoo on my back. Yeah. Please, let me take my shirt off. Hang on a second.
You may remember him from such films as...
Why, yes, that is the NLSC logo. How did you know?
I got this tattoo, and then they changed the logo on me.
Cha-ching!
Yeah.
Warning.
Straight off the bat.
We like to get off to the hot start.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yep. Before this descends any further into a podcast by some other foul-mouthed group, and not our foul-mouthed group of digital broadcasters, we are here to talk to you about basketball video games, basketball, the modding community, and anything else that comes to mind. Actually, considering the way this has started, we might just stick to those topics. But...
yes.
But I guess we'll begin by recapping the news, and some of it we actually do have a few things to say about it, other things not so much. Just at the top of the show, since we are, well, originally an NBA Live fan site, I will mention the NBA Live 14 news first, also because there isn't much of it, and not as we wait for more details to come out of EA Tiburon, but there was an interview with executive producer Sean O'Brien posted last week by Gaming Illustrated. I had to refer to our wonderful main page there. Not a whole lot of information, guys, that we haven't heard before, I guess. Once again, reiterating their goals with the game and their general attitude towards a successful comeback. So check it out. If it's a good...
recap?
Recap, yeah. Synopsis of everything, of what we've heard so far. A concise rundown. There you go. Concise rundown of all the information we've got so far and just the basics and bounce tech and everything. So check that out under the NBA Live 14 news category on the main page if you want to get up to speed. Or Ben also posted the link in the forum.
I wonder if we can speculate on whether or not we can that each NBA player who does a commercial for EA will have their motion-captured face talking to you while you play the game, like Kyrie Irving does in that cover play video.
I can just imagine the hate that would get. Like, you spent all this time on that, and you still didn't get those shoes right?
Hey. The Pelicans collar is accurate.
Yeah. The most important thing. Who cares if you actually hate the name Pelicans, you know? That's a sweet jersey, but we'll get to that in due course. A little bit more news on the NBA 2K14 front. Which one was I going to recap first? Oh, of course, the community team-up, which we covered in last week's podcast, was indeed 7 people going to the event at Novato. And basically, they all sort of said it was pretty positive what they saw. They couldn't say much just yet. They are going to be putting together videos because they're all YouTubers. But they did indicate a few positive remarks. I'm just looking at a couple of them now. K-Spade, if you thought NBA 2... Basically, I'm paraphrasing. If you thought NBA 2K13 was an A, 2K14 is an A+. Good news early on. Is there any indication of how much they actually played, whether it was another demo or a full game?
The only screenshot we saw was with them with the 360 controllers in front of them. So I'm going to go ahead and assume that they definitely played the current-gen version.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know what they saw with next gen. If you know, we don't know if they played demo, which it's gearing up. I'm gearing myself for disappointment, just like last year, that these guys are gonna be pretty. I'll just say it, homers for it. Just really say nice things, and that's backed up with the next thing we'll talk about. But I'll wait for that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as I've said before, the thing with community events is you go, what you see is usually impressive, and quite often it's, dare I say, geared that way to be to be the best, putting their best foot forward, obviously. And and it's not that they've bought your opinion. I'd like to think that I've always been as unbiased as possible and as constructive as possible at the events, but, you know, you're sort of seeing it and taking it all in, and you're seeing the new stuff, and it looks cool, but yeah. Hopefully they gave some quality feedback and and not. But as you said, we do have something to discuss in that regard. A note that came through today, actually, or yesterday, rather, from when we're recording this, NBA 2K14 is going to feature block dunks as part of a new blocking system. And pretty good news.
They're not adding it as DLC?
It's not DLC, amazingly, which means the PC version will have block dunks.
Yeah!
We may not have a virtual closet. We do have virtual blocks of dunks. So... You win some, you lose some, but I guess I'll settle for the blocks. But John, as you alluded to before, you do have a couple of comments on the subject. So the mic is yours, my friend.
Okay, well, let's start with this. The first things first, EA made that little jab that, you know, we had a great EA 2K rivalry a couple of years ago. And we had a great EA jab right at the beginning of the year when they said that block dunks will be in NBA Live 14, which that was fine and dandy. And then we have 2K advertising it as a feature. I got a nosebleed just thinking about it. This is not a rip on the developers. We love you, Leftos. The person in marketing who decided that they should publicly advertise that, hey, you can block dunks in 2K14 and publicly say you can't do this in 2K13. It's like, hey, remember those months and months and months of hype that we gave you to spend $60 on our game? Yeah, well, it sucks. This is the same thing that I've been complaining about with EA that they do every year. They already did it with Live 10. You know, just saying that how Live 10 was terrible. Look at what we can do in 14. Which was kind of like, yeah, you should be doing it in 14. It's just, I hate it.
Under the bus, I believe they call it.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And it makes me, when I see stuff like this, it's like, okay, so if I'm supposed to believe the hype for this next game, I'm also supposed to believe that I wasted my money and I've wasted my time this past year. That's how it feels to me, because I know, you know, we know it's, we're all made up with it, and we all know that, you know, it's supposed to be marketing, we're supposed to take it this way and not this way, oh, it's good, that's in the game. But, you know, I look at it deeper, trying to think of the less fortunate, intelligently people who are going to look at this and go, and actually think that 2K13 is terrible, and now I have to ride the hype train for the next 2 months and wait for the new game to come out. I mean, I don't know, it's just... It rubs me the wrong way, but what rubs me the wrong way worse, I tried watching a couple of the community things. I watched Chris Moves, I'm going to call him by name, I don't give a crap, video on the Block Dunks thing, because I said, okay, well, let's see what he has to say. This should be interesting. When we're doing the podcast tomorrow, maybe he'll give me something to talk about. All he talked about in the video was how terrible it was that in NBA 2K12, you could block dunks with your toenails. Your toenails can block dunks. Did you know you can block dunks with your toenails? And I was dumbfounded. I disliked it and turned it off. I mean, the thing that I loved about 2K, the reason why I always liked it more than Live, even back in the day, was that any player could block any other player given the right circumstances. If I have a point guard who has major ups like Steve Francis did back when I was playing 2K for the first time, and he would come up on, you know, some center and swat them because he could jump so high, and it's because his arm actually hit the ball, and no matter what, that's a block shot.
Yeah.
And it was perfect. It was great. And it's something that, because you never see that in Live, in the old PS2 lives. You never see a point guard blocking a center because it was all canimation. It didn't trigger unless the block rating was high enough. So it was something organic that I loved, and I've loved it. 2K11, I think, is the best with the blocking. And then we have 2K12, which evidently people started hating because now players can slightly move their arms left and right to block a shot, and they're blocking with their elbows. This is the worst thing ever. Oh, my God, 2K is letting you block people with your elbows. They should completely redo their animations. This is terrible. And then we get the response, well, I'm assuming it's a response to it, with 2K13, where we can't block dunks at all. And and we know the story, and now here we are. But that's, so Smoove saying that was one thing. iPod King Carter, again, I'm going to say their names because they said it. He went to the community thing, and he did a little write-up on his OS, Operation Sports Arena. And it said, in recent years, 2K moved away from blocking in their critically acclaimed NBA 2K series, which sent fans in a frenzy. And it's like, okay, it was just this past year, but that's okay. And he's talking about how what he played in, when he went to the thing and played 2K14, what he saw were the blocks. Talking about how it's all timing, and you can even hear a sound when you block dunks as well. Oh,
yeah, it's kind of taken for granted, I would imagine.
Sorry, I mean, I remember NBA Live 2004, I got to have a freaking rocket blast sound effect when I blocked anything. Not even a
2003, rocket back to the opposite baseline.
Exactly.
And then cut to a cutscene of Michael Jordan being chewed out on the bench by Brendan Haywood. I mean, because that's how NBA Live 2003 rolled.
But then he's talking about we don't have to deal with the frustrations of not being able to stop an offensive player when they're in an animation. That's what we said last year with the no canimation, which unfortunately it's come to light that there are canimations still for blocks in 2K13 that I found recently, and other people have too. The best thing about the addition of being able to block dunks is the fact that signature skills such as Chase Down, Artist, and Eraser are now looked at in better light.
Not buying it?
He says, and Chase Down, Artist gives those athletic, long-winged players a better chance at the defensive end. And, okay, I think it's safe to say that with next gen coming and everything, that they probably didn't add wingspan, something that we've been asking for since 2K6 to the current gen game. It could, hopefully it's in the next gen, hopefully. But so talking about long winged players.
Yeah, like one of the guys that was drafted this year, wouldn't he have like a 7 or 8 inch freaking or 9 inch like wingspan?
9 foot wingspan, yeah.
Yeah. And then we have Anthony Bennett who can't even palm a ball. And evidently, Carmelo Anthony.
When I said like 6 or 9 inch, I meant that was longer than his height.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yes. Right. Right.
Not junk size.
He's talking about I blocked a dunk with a chest to chest animation. It's like, okay, that's not a block dunk. He talks about how it was a foul. That's not a block dunk. That's just, you know, a collision. And pretty much this is exactly what I was worried about. At the end of the day, I'm happy 2K Sports decided to bring back blocking on a whole new level, and I will be one of those fans that won't take a defender lightly when trying to force myself in the paint. And I mean, the writing leaves some to be desired, and I know that I'm in graduate school and I'm holding myself to a higher standard and all this fun stuff, but it was pure pandering, I think is the word I want to use here. Yes, very shallow and pedantic. No, it was something about how he just talked about it, how you can punch a dunk towards the hoop or out of bounds and all this stuff. It's like, well, no ish. I'm not going to swear. No duh. It's just kind of like...
Leave that for me and leftist.
Get some more courage in
here. So if you
drink something a little bit harder than water...
I mean, the thing that what I would, if I went to this community event and they had a new blocking system, if for whatever reason under NDA, let's say they have some, because remember they teased a tech a couple of years ago with the animations being able to adjust to where the ball is. I think they did that in 2K12, so that when you block a shot, the hand will actually try to find the ball instead of just being a set animation. Let's say they revamped that, and all this stuff is under NDA. Instead of doing this couple hundred word write-up and on OS and having it promoted to the OS front page and all this fun stuff, just tweet it. Just say, yeah, you guys, this blocking system is the real deal. Wait till you hear more about it.
Or do something even just point form on a write-up, for example. Miscellaneous notes.
This is exactly what I was worried about. The reason I have such an issue with this is because this is someone who went to see the game early, who we were trusting to come back with the truth and not be, some kind of publicist. And here we have this big, long write-up over things that we've been seeing in these games since they were frickin' created. There's no information there. There's no information about this. We just know that we can block dunks again, and that's nothing that 2K should be touting.
Yeah.
Do you guys remember a few years ago, I think it was in release for Live 10, when, how Live 10 was saying, you're able to inbound the ball, save the inbound ball players and all that stuff, try and tip it in before the ball goes out.
Yeah, it took them 7 years.
And then 2K publicly said, we've had that for years.
Yeah.
So that was that was the dig that they had. You know, is there not so much a warrant for EA to reply and say, we've had that for years. But, you know, is it like a double standard? See, is it a double standard in some...
Well, in this case, 2K can come out and say, well, we've actually released a game the last couple of years.
Yeah,
so,
EA's
got to be careful about how
much
they... Yeah, I know. Well, and EA also has to be worried about, because they didn't have tip dunks in the past, three versions of the game they've actually put out. And I remember I remember complaining to you guys in for NBA Elite 11 during the hype for that about how tip dunks were being so publicized.
Yep.
And then they showed me that double tip dunk video where they had a tip dunk that got missed, and then someone else did a tip dunk after it, and then it blew my mind, and I just said, "Get me! Just take my money! I want the game!"
So I think, I mean, I get where you're coming from, and I don't disagree, but I guess it's nice that they're, at the same time that they're throwing out this information, because it also says, or 2K are giving us this information, and EA in the past. It is a problem when they advertise features that should be in the game and that have been taken out as when they advertise them coming back in, when they say, well, because obviously invites us to say, well, why did they believe? And there may be some good reasons behind redoing the animations or the tech or whatever.
Yeah.
We dig in specifically, but in specific circumstances, we can dig deeper into that. But I guess they kind of have to say it, and it kind of says, well, we've heard you, we know you want it, it's back in the game. So it's nice from that respect, but yeah, it is funny when they hype it. And I guess NBA Live, the NBA Live 10 example would be playoffs mode, which was taken out for a few years there, at least in the next-gen version, and then suddenly, it's back, and we've got playoffs mode. Yeah, so did NBA Live 95. although it certainly did not have the presentation elements that NBA Live 10 did, so they did a fantastic job with that. But I guess if you are going to bring a feature back, then bring it back and then build upon it.
And I'm kind of looking forward to saying this again, because if they bring something back that's similar to crew mode, then, you know, we're going to go right back into all of this. It's just funny to think about. I mean, as we're talking about features coming back and stuff, we need to remember that they actually took out a lot of stuff in 2K13, not being able to share sliders, being limited to only one My Career player per profile. And on the PC, that means one My Career player per CD key.
Yeah.
I mean, and all the issues that surrounded with that. And it feels like we're going down the wrong road, where things are getting more closed down and more refined and watered down, if you will, than expanded upon. Because it's amazing to pop 2K7 in and play the greatest blacktop mode that ever was. Or even 2K8 had it, where you had all these courts, full court and half court courts to play on, 21, 101 through 5-on-5, 1-on-1 could be played full court and all this fun stuff. I mean, we had all these things, and they get taken out. And if they redo blacktop mode, please redo blacktop mode. Leftos. Find the 2K7 code. Take 2K7 code, copy paste. Because it works that way.
It will totally work, yeah. And I guess that's what it comes down to. Things get taken out because they do break other things, or they redo this. But it is frustrating. Like, one of my favorite games in the NBA Live series is NBA Live 06 on PC.
Yep.
Because it's one of the last PC ones that wasn't completely bugged to the point where you actually have to change ratings to fix fatigue or anything like that, which I hate doing, but it has to be done, otherwise the experience is not anywhere near as good as it can be. But you've got the gameplay, you've got the pretty solid game as far as not having too many game-breaking bugs. You've got Dynasty mode, you've got Playoffs mode, you've got standalone single-season mode, you've got All-Star Weekend. It's a really fully featured title, and it's one of the... And NBA Live 2005 is the same. I know some people prefer 2005 to 06 because of the Freestyle Superstars, which is fine. And that's a fantastic game as well for that era. But again, we had these really fully featured games. And like you said, John, with the blacktop and everything, and these things fall by the wayside. And it does kind of sting a bit when in future years, it's like, hey, look what we've got. Look what
we
had.
The dunk contest. The dunk contest. Yeah. Perfect example.
Yeah.
It comes back as DLC.
Exactly. And that's even worse. Especially when a certain platform, which we won't name, doesn't even get the option to have.
Well, do we really want it with a Guitar Hero? I mean,
it's
the three of us haven't played it, right?
Ben has. I played it once, and
enough said.
Yeah. it was like when I played the Tomb Raider multiplayer. I was like, saw it once and I played it once for like less than 5 minutes, and it was glitchy as hell. Like that multiplayer was like, players are jumping around like freaking ants on crack or something like that. Caffeine.
Ants on crack.
They're like all jittery as hell. It was like, you could not shoot anyone. And then someone went into like a running man pose, frozen in that pose, and somehow managed to run like 20 meters or something like that. And I was like, yeah, nah. Never again.
But see, my concern is
Ben loves The Last of Us. That was the last of this.
Exactly.
My concern with it, though, is that, okay, so no one, they got a lot of criticism for the dunk contest and, you know, the Guitar Hero lanes and all that fun stuff, which I'm very glad that everyone's called it.
We've been vocal about it on this podcast. Yeah. So.
And not to mention the Legend Showcase in 2K12 as well.
Well, that was actually pretty, kind
of. But it did strip out a lot of things that were in Blacktop, didn't it?
Yes, it did.
And then added it back for the cool price of Microsoft points.
Yes, it did. But I will say that that actually added some value, and as its own little, like, it was like as if 2K did a street mod or a street game, and it was. But we're not talking about that.
Yeah.
My concern is that 2K is going to say, "Well, you guys didn't like Black or the dunk contest, so we just removed it this year instead of making it on the disc." That is my worry. And especially since, you know, the PC version still gets all those references to virtual currency and the dunk contest and association mode and stuff. Yeah, whatever. PC mode rules.
Yep, PC for life. But
Master Race!
PC till I die!
So who's buying a PS4?
Yep.
All of us, I believe.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, it's good to see it back. It's kind of funny that it's advertised as a feature. It's kind of like saying, it actually reminds me of NBA Live 97. One of the key points on the back of the box, NBA Live has Shaq, because he wasn't appearing in any of the games at the time. So Shaq's presence in the game was actually a selling point for NBA Live that year. So,
oh, man.
Shaq in all capital letters, by the way, on that box. I remember it well. But yeah, so it's nice to see that back, and we had the question in the forum: do we think that it's going to be glitchy or with clipping? And I'm going to guess, at least on the current gen, probably. I don't think that tech's going to get a whole lot of upgrades. Maybe if there's new physics that they're bringing in on the next gen, we might see blocks look a little nicer. But if like I say, it cuts out some cheese, so I'm happy with it.
I think realistically the first year there'll be minor clipping on the next gen in a lot of the titles, like sports titles in particular, since they have such a short time frame to work on. I think we'll see still a little elements of that. By second, the third year, I think there wouldn't be any of it realistically. There shouldn't be. So
yeah.
Mm.
The soul of hoops.
NBA Live
has Shaq. Yep.
NBA Live has Shaq. Yep. That's right.
I don't know. I mean, I'm looking forward to what else the team of guys will say, and I'm looking forward to what else the blocking system will end up being, because I do think that's a great thing to advertise. I'm glad they focused on it, and I can't wait to see what they do. But the way it was presented and all that just made me kind of go.
Probably the wrong way.
Sad face.
Yeah. Sad face.
From
colon facepalm colon. If you're in the NLSC forum.
All right. From my impressions of what John has just sort of said, it's like episode 3 of the newsroom where Jim Harper is sort of getting really tired of basically being free advertising. Like, he working for obviously a news media site, and he's on tour for the Romney campaign, and all they're getting is basically articles to write about, where in a sense it's free media press for the Romney campaign, and he's tired of doing that, and he has like a breakdown on the bus, and
it's more PR than journalism.
Yeah, exactly. So he makes that kind of statement, and so that's the impression that I'm getting from John. Yeah.
And that is the problem with community events, as I've said before, that sometimes you either come off looking like a PR tool, or hopefully I never was a PR tool myself. But
some may have said puppet, but
puppet, yeah. Oh, some certainly did.
I'm gonna try to find that NBA Live video where you're the community video where you're in the background. I'm gonna see if I can see the strings.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely. Yeah, you can just see me here getting the sack of money with the dollar sign on it, and, hurriedly tucking it behind my back. But no,
like Chief Wiggum in court.
Oh, my laundry is done. Yeah. So that's I guess pretty much all for the blocking system. We did actually get another little snippet of news, a behind the scenes video that Bleacher Report posted with Steve Kerr. We got to hear a couple of the lines that he's recorded, all of them about LeBron. So I was really excited to hear that, of course, and how awesome LeBron is, and how he's so much better than anyone else in NBA history. Yeah, because Michael Jordan never existed, did he? Kerr did actually mention that he spends 40 to 50 hours in the booth each year to record the commentary, and that's pretty impressive. I mean, some people, I know we have one very vocal critic of the presentation and commentary in the community, and I'm sure you know who I'm referring to, John. Not you, but you know who I'm referring to.
Kobe Rules?
It's not our friend Kobe Rules. This particular person, yeah, it's not a fan of the commentary and has referred to it as the Emperor's new clothes. Has made that.
That's a pretty big little statement.
Yeah, but the impression that this person has, and I guess a lot of people have this, and it's clearly not the right impression, is that they just spend a couple of hours one day in the booth recording lines off a script. But Steve Kerr did mention that he does spend 40 to 50 hours recording over these various sessions, recording commentary for NBA 2K, where he will go off script and improvise and such. And I mean, I enjoyed it. I like any kind of behind the scenes videos with little snippets of information like that. It's nothing to get too excited about. No, it's not like they're talking about shoes, after all, for crying out loud. But yeah,
that's my job.
That's your job. That's job. But did either of you guys catch that video at all? And any thoughts on that?
I've seen that it's out, but I haven't had a chance to watch it today. I admit I've been quite busy today.
Sure.
It's interesting, and it looks like instead of showing him gameplay, which is actually what I thought they did, I thought they just had him, you know, showed him gameplay and had him kind of go off that.
On that, yep.
But, I've been told at previous NBA Live community events that that's how they did it.
Yeah.
So EA has obviously done it at some point, but yeah.
But in the video, Kerr does say that he's been doing video game commentary for the past 6 or 7 years, and I'm like, I'm waiting for the 2K fans to say that, you know, to think about that and realize that he hasn't been in their game for that long.
When they do the math, it's like, hey, wait a minute, that doesn't add up.
He almost mentioned the competition. How dare he mention the competition?
But it does seem good, but I do wish that 2K would change the way they do their commentary system so that when he's talking about LeBron being the greatest of all time and how he can play any position and all this fun stuff, I really wish they could just find a way to structure those kind of comments the same way they structure the comments for when they do commentary, like LeBron makes a basket, so that they can say Zhao Ming made a basket the same way Zhao Ming can play any position on the floor and still be dominant. You know,
yeah.
Obviously not with custom audio like that, but just making it so that they can substitute in players that develop or generated players, you know, 20 years into an association and stuff. Or your My Career Player obviously would be the big, you know, draw with that. Yep. To have these kind of locked down commentary spiels apply for any of the other players in the NBA, but that's
structured so that the names are substituted into.
Because I mean, even if it was just an introduction thing, like saying, "Well, here's the thing about Bagley
X,"
then
A-Train.
here's the thing about A-Train, and then it goes on. He can play any position on the court. Instead of having him be locked down and specifically talking about LeBron, you know, have him locked down specifically talk about LeBron, but have the introductory thing to have it be about anybody, and then have it triggered when, you know, someone gets a bunch of blocks, a bunch of assists, a bunch of steals, a bunch of threes, and, you know, a bunch of dunks, whatever each position can do that Leftos can do with NXT. And but I really wish that they move towards that, or EA moves towards that, or someone does that, because that just seems like a really neat thing to talk about current NBA players like that. And then you can even talk about past things like that and have it apply as currently happening to any player triggered by specific stats, or if they put more intelligence into the chemistry, mechanic, and morale and all that fun. But
Well, you could also have less repetition because the amount of times I've heard the same anecdote playing my career.
Well, Rondo really came into his own last year when... It's year 10 of the association. Please stop.
I'm just thinking Doris Burke comes on. Hi, Kevin. A-Train had a great game last night.
He had a career high in assists.
Certainly a sign of things to come. And I won the finals MVP last season.
Not only that, but season MVP too.
And 65 overall.
averaging 70 points a game. And just because your player has like a 50-point game and, you know, it's a below-average nightmare compared. It looks like
50 skill points. Yeah. The whole thing.
Like, I originally thought John was going to go on a different tangent in regards to the whole Steve Kerr statement in regards to LeBron being the greatest player of all time. I was just picturing him saying, oh, you know, and then have, like, Charles Barkley step in and slap the hell out of Steve Kerr in the face and say, Michael Jordan is the greatest player ever, and then sort of go, that's terrible, and then walk off.
Terrible.
Yeah, just... terrible.
What I really think that that 2K should do is bring in TNT integration, and I guess it's a money issue or something related. Money probably, because that's the big thing here. But with EA doing ESPN integration, and one of the few good things that we've seen in the leaked videos of NBA Live 13 and whatnot has been the presentation and the commentary
and the audio.
So with 2K, they do a great job with the presentation. It's practically NBA on TNT presentation as it is.
Yeah.
So if they actually get the logos and, I don't know, some people want it to go fully fictional. I think if you're having all the authenticity that 2K normally strives for, that's really the last step as far as presentation, to actually get that TNT branding into the game.
Do you remember 2K9?
2K9? No.
I didn't really get to play too much 2K9.
When they had the announcers on the court with cyber faces talking into the camera before the beginning of the game?
No, I only played the 2K9 demo.
I probably only played the demo at most.
And you call you guys PC loyalists.
Well, I bought the game on PC secondhand, and the CD key had already been used, really followed up on. Yeah, that was disappointing. My greatest eBay purchases of all time.
You mean it wasn't the unicorn meat?
The unicorn meat, yeah.
Oh, wait, that was Amazon. That was Amazon.
$40,000 Ethernet cable. sorry, John, go on. 2K9's presentation.
Oh, no. But 2K9 had something like that, which was very, you know, immersive. And 2K8, 2K7, 2K6 all had really good presentation elements that I covered, you know, in other videos and in my prediction videos. But
YouTube,
subscribe. Click stuff.
Flashy lights.
Like. You like it.
Comment on it 10 times, but please make sure you don't, you know, tell me you have a cracked game, because I will block you.
Also, if you could keep out the racist or sexist comments, you know, we know it's YouTube, but come on.
Yes. I mean, it's funny because those games had a better presentation, in my opinion, than what we have lately with 2K. And it's funny because it's been the past couple of years where they've said that they have someone from TNT coming in to help them with their score bug. And they flaunted this, I think, in 2K11 or 10?
12, was it?
One of them. But then we had all this great presentation, you know, filters and score bugs and everything in 2K12's greatest mode. And at the same time, though, when you boot up 2K6 or 2K7 or, you know, the older games, and you see the presentation, Kenny's top plays of the half and the Toyota BS advertising drifting onto the screen with, you know, the player of the game, having fans actually have cyber faces and interact with each other in cutscenes, and all these little things made it seem like a lot more atmospheric. And then what we have now is, you know, the players dribbling in the corner and the same commercial that shows for the first and third quarter every time. And
whatever the hell Jay-Z did with 2K13.
I mean, I will say this. The halftime report is great. The guy that they have for the halftime report, and the highlights they show, and, you know, covering the real NBA games, if you know the PC would ever actually get the stats for those things, was actually fantastic, in my opinion. But like, we don't have the DVD menu at the end of this at the thing anymore. We don't have the presentation elements that make it better than the TNT that we are supposedly mimicking now, I guess is the best way to put it. It seems like they took the bad part of TNT and they left out the best part about TNT is, you know, the halftime and the discussion that happens between Kenny, Chuck, Shaq, and all of them. And then, you know, the in-game stuff is kind of is okay, but they're trying to replicate the in-game stuff when they should be replicating what they did in previous games, I guess, what I'm trying to say.
Well, hopefully, again, we know they've cut down things that are on the disc or reduced the quality to fit all that stuff in. So maybe on next gen with the bigger capacity.
I still call BS on that.
You still do?
I still call BS on the memory disc thing. Just not we're trying to save things because they have audio files that the game doesn't use in the game still that are megabytes upon megabytes, and then they have stadiums that we don't use and uniforms we don't use. I'm not saying you should remove them.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's nice to have, a Afro Kobe for those Kobe lovers to have and a Afroed Ben Wallace from 2005 and a young Vince Carter and all these awesome cyberfaces that are hidden on Jay Leno that are hidden in the files. But yeah, I still call BS on the memory disk limitation thing.
Fair enough. I say anything else to say? I say nay, sir. No, sir, I don't like it. Well, we did actually get one last piece of 2K news this week, which also kind of leads us into some NBA discussion for the week. But the New Orleans Pelicans revealed their jerseys this week, and that also gave 2K an opportunity to shoot out a current-gen screenshot of the Brow, Anthony Davis, wearing the new jerseys in 2K14, and I'll start with you, Ben, since you are our resident fashion designer and sportswear designer, I should say. What did you think of the screenshot and the jerseys?
Well, do we need to say anything about the collar that they got wrong?
We had double dribble gate last week. We can have collar gate this week.
All right. Well, obviously that's sort of the. Yeah, it's like a.
Everyone
it's like
has noticed a, that. Yeah,
it's like a cutoff V, so it's like Helvetico aerial V in a sense instead of a pointy tip V neck collar. So, yeah, just one small thing I'd like to see them get right. Obviously, with regards to the files in which they receive, they get these pretty generic sort of looking vector files from NBA Media's site, where all the logos and all that stuff is. And there's a lot of detail that isn't included in this vector file that should be there. So you do get a lot of misrepresentation, even in regards to some of the way some of the older collars and that were done. Like, we'll go, for instance, the Hornets collar from a few years ago, like when they redesigned it. The Sacramento Kings, when they changed their uniform, and they have that sort of V-neck collar, where it has a little pointy end to it, I suppose you'd call it. It's just the technical vector illustration wasn't represented enough, or well enough, or accurate enough to sort of show what was going to be the final product. So,
good job, NBA.
Or the Adidas or Reebok or the designers that were doing this stuff, it's just purely misrepresented. So,
I bet it gets patched because, as I recall, 2K13, some of the first updates it received were updated Knicks jerseys or fixed Knicks jerseys.
Yeah. That weren't even fixed. They weren't even fixed. They were.
They weren't? Okay. Attempts at a fixed jersey.
The blue was so desaturated on the release of the game. They turned up the saturation by like maybe 5%, and it was still nowhere close to what how blue the actual jerseys were. Which I find it funny they were doing those when they weren't touching the Bulls' pinkness or the Rockets' pinkness
The Clippers' pinkness. Yes, which I have addressed in previous ones in regards to when they convert the image from CMYK to RGB, where in particularly reds do go into really really more pinkish based colors. I think blues tend to go a little bit more to saturate, like a sort of a dullish color. Trying to think what else gets really affected. Yellows, I think, go a little bit brighter. I think those are some of the sort of main effects.
So that's
effects.
Why the Warriors look so good.
So it's just they don't convert it to sRGB. So when they switch it over from CMYK, which would give them a more accurate color conversion from CMYK to red, green, blue. So yeah, and cyan. Well, CMYK is cyan, yellow, magenta, and black. So yeah, that's more the printing format color scheme. And RGB is obviously what you sort of see in images like from JPEG to PNG, and also the color schemes for TV. And then when you paint, you have the primary colors are blue, red, and yellow. So there's multiple different set color functions and all that. But in regards to going back to the Pelicans uniform, there's a couple little details in regards to the way that the trim, or not so much the trim, but the sort of base of the shorts. They have this extra material cut, which sort of helps in the curving, I suppose, of just above the Pelican logo in the side paneling. And is someone cutting up some cocaine or something like that? Like Charlie Sheen?
Me.
Okay. Sorry, I thought Charlie Sheen had entered the podcast.
I heard that too. I was like...
Well, I got to make it for the night. What can you say?
Ran out of Red Bull, so cocaine's going to have to do.
Yeah.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug. Yeah. Throwback to Dave Chappelle. There's a couple of little minor details that hopefully they'll add to give that greater realism, aside from this blank sort of lifeless template that they get from the NBA media site. So fingers crossed, people. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
So thumbs in the middle for the Pelicans design itself.
The actual design itself, the side paneling kind of does reflect the streetlight in New Orleans and all that, but I don't know, the script logo or word mark is just too freaking small. Like, you have to squint to read it.
That's a common complaint, yeah.
And I know when the Minnesota Timberwolves, when they changed their jersey and when they previewed it, it kind of had a similar thing, but by the time the season started, there was an improvement. Like, they increased the size of it, so it became more legible, and it looked more balanced on the uniform. So hopefully something similar happens between now and tip-off time for the season. But I'm probably going to probably say... I wouldn't cross my... Well, I wouldn't bet on it. That'd probably be a better term of phrase. I don't know. I fear this is sort of what's going to happen with the Suns uniform that gets unveiled. Like, they've released little snippets of it, but I think they're going to look kind of generic and plain in the end.
Because that gets revealed next week, doesn't it? The new Suns jersey.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's been plenty of teaser images, and it's kind of hard to make out entirely how it's going to look in some ways. But yeah, I fear the worst still in regards to that.
Well, I actually, from what I've seen from the Suns uniform, and what I see, you know, obviously what we saw with the Pelicans, something I do like is that they got rid of the trim that goes around the arms, I guess, of the uniform.
Yeah, the sleeves, yeah.
And yeah. They kept that all the same color. I actually really like that, and I know it makes it look a little bit more generic, but for whatever reason, I like it. I'm just weird like that, I guess.
It's a clean design. Yeah. I feel it's okay. I mean, I've... which do you like better, the Pelicans New Jersey or the Thunder's alternate? I mean, it could be worse, is all I'm saying.
The Thunder,
the Thunder, yeah.
I still can't believe that error. And to think too, they would have used a the part of the vector file. They just would have straight ripped that vector file script. So I don't know who the hell screwed that.
Actually,
I mean,
Let's make it a little bit more pathetic than that. The only reason the PC version officially got that alternate uniform is because they updated it in the thing. Because remember, we don't get any of the hidden alternates that get shown off before the game comes out.
Yeah.
Leftos. Yeah.
You know what you must do.
Yeah. Back
should
to
never
program
listen,
monkey.
You still listen to us.
Do your thing, program monkey. It was the best of times. It was the
worst of times.
Good times. I've come to like, not, as I've said before, not so much the Pelicans name. I still don't think it's fantastic as far as names go, but it's the shock value, I guess, has worn off. The shock of the whole, you know, we are going to have an NBA team called the Pelicans. That I've gotten over that. And the color scheme's nice, and the branding's nice, the logos are nice. So, you know.
They kind of did, they just didn't finish it off as well as I was hoping with the uniforms. And regarding the comment you made about, like, the simple sleeves and all that stuff in regards to no trims and all that, a few of my uniforms actually have that. Like, my Hibachi team, we have that. Let's see if I'll send you guys a photo of that just so you can see what I'm talking about. You know, and, but yeah, just, I don't know, there's something regards to the Pelican ones that just, I think it's more the actual script logo. I think just that area of the uniform just looks so plain, and I think if they'd given it something, even if the collar just had a little bit more character to it instead of just being that one tone, then I think they could have given it a bit more character. But yeah, it's just that top half of it kind of looks just not appealing to my liking, I suppose. That'll be, yeah, the easiest way I'll put it.
Okay. Another interesting point about the text, it's obviously small, as we pointed out, but have you noticed that it's New Orleans on both the home and away jersey?
Yep.
Quite often.
They do that on a few. Yeah. I mean, if you look at Dallas, you know, it's home and away.
Indeed.
If you look at Brooklyn, they did the same as well. Even Miami did it for their home and away, and it wasn't until just this season where they changed it for the away, the season that just passed. So there's a few teams that do it. But yeah, it would have been good to see Pelicans. And, you know, that way it would have also allowed for the larger font or the script logo. Yeah. So,
well, for example, the Thunder or the Thudner, their road jersey, when they're representing Oklahoma City, has Oklahoma City, but when they're at home, it's got Thunder on it, unless I'm mistaken. That's also the other traditional thing, is to have the home jersey with the nickname, the away jersey with the city name, because you're on the road and representing where you're coming from.
Yeah.
And certainly there are teams that do it, but I did wonder whether it was simply that, or whether they are lacking confidence in the Pelicans' name, whether it hasn't gone over quite as well as they thought, or
they're doing a soft sort of launch.
A soft launch.
We're it's taking like, the Hornets back. Screw you, Bobcats. No,
like, yeah, we just get them used to it first, and then we'll spring it on them the following year.
It's the new Coke of the 20%.
We'll make billions.
I think the one thing that everyone's worried about, though, with that small text, is that it makes a lot of room for advertising.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
The day the NBA dies.
Yes. I mean, it's...
But it won't for us, because we have a PC version, and we can patch that ish out.
And change all those terrible color schemes as well.
Yes. This is why NBA Live also needs to come back to PC. So if that worst case scenario happens, we can do the same.
I don't think we've spoken enough about our desire for a PC version.
I know, way. Seriously?
This may shock you guys, but I really wish that NBA Live 14 would come out on PC.
Really?
I will. You know what? You know what? You know how badly I want it? I will put up with Origin for it.
Yes.
Okay?
I do believe Andrew made that exact same statement just a few weeks ago. And just sort of thinking about something that was sort of said by one of our podcast hosts, and that I believe I made a bold prediction that probably in the next 5 years we may see a WNBA slam dunk contest. From an article that I saw, that's looking like it could happen in the next 5 years. So my bold prediction was right.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's going to need to more threads that you need to lock, John. putting sexist people in their place.
Yep. Well, you know what? Okay, that's it. I'm going to forcibly force your hand into the other discussion topic. There is an awesome WNBA mod for NBA 2K13 right now in the releases forum. And by T.S. So Good, or T. So Good, whatever his name is.
Yep.
He is doing fantastic work on that. and he's got a nice little team around him. The women that they have in the WNBA mod actually look like women. It is,
and that's pretty impressive considering like 2K's body player models are almost like Gears of War characters. And
you know, actually, it's also funny. There was also another great mod that's about to be released by Bliss, who has these amazing screenshots from the screenshot of the week that I used to run. And he actually took the static model of the uniforms and compressed it down so that it's actually realistic, so that the uniforms are actually skin tight and they don't float on the players, which is something that I think that all of us have been pissed off about in the past.
Oh, yeah, and then floating 2 inches above the shoulders.
Yep, he's fixed all of it. They actually look really, really good. I will go ahead and right-click this, copy link as, copy image URL, there we go, and paste it to you guys.
Ooh, yeah, they've gone wild. I'll take that, bookmark that.
Well,
hey, that was 2 weeks ago.
That's really impressive.
Yeah,
what he's done is that through that's through Hexagon, is it?
No, that's through Blender. Model.
Oh, Blender. Okay.
Oh, Blender. Oh, sweet.
This is something that I've tried to do the past couple of years, and I just started swearing and gave up.
Okay, see,
I'm not good with Blender.
Okay, see the color that I'm talking about with the Kings jersey. Like, see how it's got that weird little dip bit at the tip. Oh, yep. That's sounding so much like that LNP member. That's a story for another time, people. That's part of the misrepresentation stuff from that vector file that I was talking about earlier. Just, the artists that they get to do that should do a better job.
If I can comment on LeBron's hairline for a moment.
Yep.
I believe that's the
gloss. and the glossiness of the side of his face. So shiny. Oh, that takes me back to an ad like about 10 years ago, was it? It was like an ad in here in Australia. So glossy.
I'm drawing a blank, I'm afraid.
Oh, okay. I think it was some roof sort of company ad.
Right.
Anyway.
Gotta love the facial expression on that one.
Yeah, but, that's almost as good as the next gen trailer.
Now, I haven't convinced you guys to actually do this on YouTube yet with Google Hangouts, so people can't see this.
yeah.
But we will be sure to link to Bliss and the WNBA mod in the podcast stuff, right, Andrew?
Wait, didn't you also, Andrew, promise to post my Under the Code article from a couple of
weeks? I did, yes.
And you didn't?
Yep.
I made sure, however, to liberally pimp the Friday Five, because that's just the kind of jerk I am.
Hey, Ben, you can edit and post those news articles too, you know.
But that means I have to do work.
you see the vicious circle that is happening here.
You're making me do something? Oh, man, I was just enjoying being a freeloading mod. I only show up for these podcasts.
Well,
sometimes you wear pants. Yeah.
Speaking of pants, where are mine?
It feels like I'm wearing nothing at all.
Stupid sexy Flanders.
Oh, my God.
They're steering the conversation back towards tight jerseys.
Oh, before we do, speaking of tight and pants.
No,
trust me, this
I looked up that WNBA mod and goddamn.
Yeah.
I think I have mentioned it, but me and Will had finished playing a club basketball game, and we were walking off our court, and we're looking at the court across from us, and there was a dude who was just wearing the Skins compression shorts and no shorts over it.
And his name was Just Ming. Ching! No.
If you subscribe, you'll see that video coming next week on youtube.com/JustMing.
You guys said you liked the slow motion ripples.
It's like a lava lamp. It's
flagged as spam.
Oh, my eyes.
They burn. The goggles do nothing.
So goggles, they do nothing. Oh, that's classic. It's like, this asset is not doing anything. It's not erasing the image forever burnt in my eyes.
Oh.
Oh, okay. Yeah, modding.
Thank God. Well, okay, I can start. We talked about modding a little bit past couple of weeks in passing, and last week we mentioned that we wanted to talk a little bit more about the process, I believe.
That's right, yes. And why and what motivates us to
well,
get excited, I guess, and actually take pleasure in this. Because, and as everyone knows, I love creating 60 draftees every year. Nothing I love more than creating that and coming up for ratings from somebody who's played 5 games in in a foreign league and trying to work out exactly how that gets it, and then I'm told that I'm completely wrong because they are the greatest superstar ever and they never make the NBA. Oh, the fun, the joy of roster making. But yes, we do actually enjoy fiddling around with the game, so we thought this week we'd talk about why we are that crazy, I guess.
Okay, so you guys may or may not know, I'm doing the NBA Street Volume 2 HD Remake Update, whatever. I'm taking NBA Street Volume 2 for the GameCube emulator, Dolphin, on the PC, and I have gone into the files, and I have updated the roster, and now we're going to do art and everything. And this past week, since the last podcast, has been the exact embodiment of everything I love and hate about patching. I have been waiting to mod an NBA Street game for 10 years. Since I first started playing it, it'd be so awesome if I could put myself like with my actual face in the game. And it's actually what started me getting towards, you know, the NLSC way back then, since you idiots were doing that with the simulation game. So... the fight. But, so, last week...
Simulation, baby.
Simulation. Last week, nothing had been done, really, with the game. I spent a lot of time figuring out how the files worked, which is, for me, a big part of it is the research aspect of it, because I do a lot of that with 2K each year, helping Vlad and Leftos with tools and how to get the tools working properly and all these great things that I really need to learn programming to do by myself now. And so the first step was figuring out how to get all these things working, and it feels kind of good to reverse engineer and decode what these people did all these years ago for consoles that don't exist anymore. it feels kind of special to, you know, give that kind of attention to old code like that, I think. So I figured out all of their things. I made a little bit of a roster editor, and that's pretty much where the street mod had left off. In this past week, I decided that no one else is going to help me. Everyone else is bastards. Everyone sucks.
Hey.
All they're going to do
is... Who says I haven't started?
Now, you haven't started, but I had to go through every player in that damn game. Look at the little rendered portrait that they have in the game, because it takes way too long to load every player up once. And individually mark down if they had a headband, what kind of hairstyle they had, and then come to the realization halfway through that there's only like 4 different head shape models in the damn game.
I know. I watched your video today. That was the one thing that I managed to squeeze in time for today.
Well, thank you.
No worries. It's like 2K news or Jousming news. Yeah, Jousming news.
So I did all of that, which was tedious as hell, but I did it. It got done. You know, X Games was on. Good for that. And then I was like, okay, I'm tired. I should go to bed. Wife and baby are already asleep. Nah, screw it. I'll stay up. So then I loaded up 2K13, and I changed every player's portrait to be rendered by the game instead of their actual portraits. And then I did the same thing. I had 2K13 in windowed mode, and I would scroll through to each player I needed and then write down what kind of hairstyle they had and if they needed a headband or not. I posted those things that night saying, I'm done. Someone else will, by God's will come through and they will do this for me and match up and say that this player should take this player's head shape and match it all up for me.
You naive fool.
Yeah, naive fool. So then the next day when X Games come on, okay, well, I guess I'll just match everyone up. So I'm matching everyone up, and by then, no one had replied to any of my topics for like a week. And I was just like, I was overwhelmed by all that I had to do and the lack of support. And I was doing all this tedious work, and I'm trying to match up the players to be as accurate as possible. And, you know, we can't, there's no way to have James Harden's beard. And I know someone's going to complain about it, and it's just going to make me want to flip them off. And all this tedious work, and I know it's never going to be accurate because we can't use retro players, so, and we can't change head shapes around just because the way it's all programmed. And it's going to be inaccurate, and I just started really getting unmotivated and disheartened by it. I suffered through it. I matched up every player to their counterpart in the NBA Street game. And I was like, yeah, this is good. We're on a roll. And then I remembered that none of this is actually in the game yet. This is all planning work. I have spent at least 5 hours doing nothing but planning. And then demotivated again when I went through another day posting my progress. No one commented on anything. Okay, well, this is my dream. I've always wanted to do this. So I whip up some spreadsheets the next day when the X Games were on. I love X Games. And I sorted the spreadsheet. I need to do tutorials on just spreadsheets because I am friggin' awesome with them. Learning how to, you know, get information from one format to another format, converting it, making it format properly so I can just copy and paste it into hex on steroids and everything. I did everything right. I modified the roster file to have the correct names. I modified the teams file to have the correct names. This is all hex editing. I got the game referencing these names properly. I got everything working like it should. And then I load it up, and the players are on whatever the hell team they want to be on. They didn't line up. They didn't go on the right teams. And it was like 2:15 in the morning. And I just said, you know what? No. Someone else can figure it out. I am done with it. I did my job. I'm doing tutorials next, and then I'm done with this stupid thing. And then these people like Ben can just do art for it, and I'm done. So I got completely frustrated and pissed off. I posted it on Thursday, and I was just or Friday, and I was just done with it. Just done it. Just F it. I'm done. And as you guys may know, I do this with some of my mods every once in a while. I just release it finished. The next day, Mizachi signs on Skype and says, "Hey, John, how's it going? I see that you've been posting stuff, and you know I've been out, you know, in upstate New York and having a grand old time. What have you been doing?" And I'm sitting here like swearing at the spreadsheets, going like, "You asshole, where the hell have you been?" So yeah, exactly.
I get to do one back. Yes.
So I'm trying to figure out. And I'm talking with him, and I'm saying, you know, I did everything right. I matched up the rotations, and the team rotations had the player IDs all proper, and they match up, and it's not working. And I don't know what. I'm at my wit's end. I could really use some new eyes on this. Can you please help me? Help me! You're like getting all worked up and pissed off. He goes through it. I know he's loading up the game, and he's trying it out, and he's, oh, I don't know why this is working. He's not a dumb guy. He's an amazing, supportive friend. I'm not meaning it like that. I'm sorry. But he's like, it's not working for me either. Why isn't it working? This should be working. And I look at all of I've done, and I realize that instead of using the sort roster column I created, I used the sort column that I created for the rotations, which means that my player IDs started that I used in the game started at 1 when they should have started at player ID 0.
Ah. Uh-huh. Just little things like that. Yeah.
So I subtract every rotation by 1, send them the file. Hey, it's working now. So the next step of that, where it's his turn to suffer with me, he has all of the – he's going to do the ratings for me and the heights and the weights. And I'm just talking with him on Skype saying, yeah, this is, I think, the best way to do it. You know, this is how I would do it if I were you and all this stuff. And he's talking about going one by one through a 2K roster, manually doing averages at the same time but for different players, and just doing it one by one by one by one by one. And X Games were on, and I'm just like, I can't let this poor bastard do this to himself. So, and he didn't even have my roster that had Anthony Bennett and the rookies in it, so he was just going to BS the rookie ratings. And I was like, okay, why don't you go and, you know, work on exporting all the textures or something? I will do this. In 45 minutes, I converted a 2K13 roster into an NBA Street Volume 2 roster, all with the correct ratings, correct heights, correct weights, correct numbers, which aren't even used by the damn game. I did all of this work in a matter of 45 minutes. This should have taken anyone else days, 45 minutes to convert from 2K13 to a 10-year-old game. And
very impressive.
I just whipped it all up, got it all done, and we see what we have now with the with that video I posted where the game actually looks or plays as it should. And it was all amazing and everything. And now I realize that we need to do 150 player cyber faces and 300 uniforms for each individual player. Two uniforms for each player. The patching is a never-ending thing. There is no way I would have been able to do that 45-minute amazingness if it weren't for the years I've been doing this with making street mods, because that's where it all came from, you know, modifying ratings and getting them back into the game properly, or yep. changing up dunk packages properly, or everything else I do. And every single mod I do has that point of absolute despair. What am I doing with my life? The shorts are longer. Hip, hip, hooray. What the hell? where I just go, just look at myself, complete stupidity in the mirror, just like, what the hell are you doing? And then I get this like eureka moment, and I get it in the game, and it works. And you get those nice little comments saying, great job, I love this, good job. All those little stupid like comments that would normally just like, you look at them and just see them as like, you know, tiny little, you know, kiss uppers, if you will. But in the moment, it feels so good, guy. So the reason I patch is because I just love customizing the game, and I love being unique with it. And I know, unfortunately, I had the moment again when I was doing all this where it's like, oh, I'm too good to quit. And even though, and I'll admit to you guys that doing all the tutorials I've done was kind of my exit strategy to say, okay, I've passed on my knowledge. Now you people can take my role in doing all this. And
no one stepped up.
I mean, people have stepped up and they've done a lot of great things, but no one to my level. Which, you know.
Well, there's no substitute for experience.
I know, basically. And that sucks. And I really wish there was a way to do it. But the thing I hate is that not only do I feel like I'm too good to stop, which I'm sorry, I'm going to be an asshole and brag about that. But I also feel like I can't stop because it's so much fun. Like, I don't want, I told you guys just before in the pregame that I just started watching Arrested Development. And I don't watch TV. I do this crap. And it is so much fun for me. And of all the hobbies in the world, it's like the least, you know, troublemaking one. But it's just funny to spend all this time in 2K13's code and not know how to cross a player over. And it'd be completely terrible at the game. The video where I'm playing NBA Street Volume 2, I played that game religiously as a kid. I've been playing it recently as a mod, and I'm terrible at it. I am just downright terrible. And it's because I'm spending all my time.
The video.
It's terrible, and it's not because I'm doing count commentary. My skill level doesn't go down because I'm talking to myself. It's because I don't play it.
Sorry, I was just picturing a multitask rating, and just the your rating would drop like 20 XP just because of it.
Oh, it's terrible! Wait till I do it in my career.
No, I mean, I can completely relate to that, and I guess it's why I'm still doing the rosters for the older games for the last few PC releases of NBA Live. And even though I was getting ready to give it away at the end of last season, why I'm at least going to be doing an opening night roster so that somebody else can take it over. And again, I don't want to be too egotistical about it, but I feel I do a pretty good job with the rosters, having done them for over a decade now. It's like you said, without that person there wanting to step up and being able to step up straight away and take it over. And I hope that I can pass on some knowledge, as you've done with your fantastic tutorials, John, and get people to take over it. But it's a big undertaking. And the thing is, when someone else has been doing that for so many years, you kind of get used to it, I think. And so I can't blame the people in the community for not wanting to take on the rosters, because you got to be kind of crazy, I think, to be updating NBA Live 2005. This many years after it's actually come out, and trying to get all the art converted and this done, and changing the dunk packages over again because they're all different game to game and converting backwards. But I have I relate so much to what you were saying, just the those moments, the hills and the valleys of why am I doing this, and oh, that's really cool, that's worked out. Like last year when I got the, or actually a few months ago when I got the Dream Team in the NBA Live 2005 through 07, thanks to the guys who converted the art for me, DC311 I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank, but yeah, just to get that in the game and think, oh, that's, I'm able to give someone something a little bit extra, not only just the current rosters with today's plays, but also that little bit extra. And it's the creativity and this the fun of doing it, and it draws you back in. Even when you're on the brink of saying, this is ridiculous, I've been doing this for so many years, time for someone else to do it, time for me to, I don't know, sit on the beach and drink a beer somewhere, or and do anything else. Well, you know, John's a family man, I'm not, so... He's doing more noble things than I am day to day, I guess, fixing computers and playing video games, catching up with friends. Anyway, just when you think you're out of the game, you know, they pull you right back in, always pulling Al Pacino there. But yeah, we do it because we enjoy it, I guess. And mad as it may seem with all those ups and downs, but it's the triumphs and the figuring something out, that's what it does, or finding something in the database that, oh, I can tweak that and make the gameplay better and actually do something constructive with the game. Yeah, it really is fun.
That's for sure. For me, when I got into it, you know, sort of seeing what the community had done, I was like, this is pretty cool, this looks like fun. So, and because of my background in design and all that, it was like, you know, this would be a good way to sort of practice my skills. Try some new techniques and especially even at that stage, you know, I was designing a lot of clothes and all that stuff, you know. So it's kind of transferable. The skills were transferable into that. It was a good way to sort of learn to replicate the NBA apparel a lot more. So I tried a couple other things, you know, like it. I initially just designed a watch in Photoshop, you know, just a nice. It was essentially a platinum and diamond watch and had my own sort of styling to it. And, you know, it was like, well, let's convert this into part of the street muds and all that stuff. So it was a little bit of, yeah, it was essentially fun and sort of see what you can do. And then, and I met like...
And it's exciting when it shows up in the game. Oh, yeah. And it actually looks like you want it to.
Yeah.
I've given faces... from scratch ago at times. I can do conversions of faces for NBA Live, but when I've tried to do it, you know, the whole cut and paste onto a thing. Yeah, I really should have actually kept them as a blooper reel because I've got some of those terrible melted faces. They haunt my nightmares to this day, and I created them. But yeah, I mean...
My created player face was a mix of Jason Williams, White Chocolate, Pau Gasol, and I think one or two other guys. It was a Frankenstein face. It wasn't actually my face, but it was close enough.
When something gets in the game and it looks like you want it to look, you're like, wow, you know, awesome.
yeah, definitely, you get that reward, and you start seeing some of the comments, like John said, and then I think I got good enough to be one of the potentially the best jersey patches. I will say that straight up. You know, I think I helped change the game a little bit. sorry, just reading a comment. I noticed, like, with regards to a lot of jerseys, like, particularly the Miami Heat jersey, how that had the polyester shine. I think I was one of the first, if not the first, to try and attempt that, the shine, shimmer, polyester material look. You know, it may not have been looked right the first time, but I did try and improve it. In fact, I think I perfected it over years, and a lot of people, when they initially tried it, it was just a plastic wrap layer over the jersey layer. That was the beginning methods for a lot of people with that, where I did a lot of stuff in the background layers and all that stuff to try and give it that real authentic look.
And then you've got a niche. Then you've got a niche as the guy who can make these jerseys.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why I didn't do my open... Like, when Leftos, you know, was talking about open source, it's like, no, I admit I wanted to protect my little trade secrets in regards to that. Because that was something that you know, it was my way I could identify if it was my work or not, and it was something that other people couldn't do. So, but I admit, like, with a lot of my stuff, I purposely didn't do some things, like, in regards to the jersey numbers, especially between Live 07 and Live 08 on PC, how they went to the 0 to 99 system, which was stupid, just like the loading screens for Live 03 and 04.
They were cut up into all the different...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and for me, aside from being lazy, it was trying not to be too obsessive about all this stuff. Like, because I admit, I kind of got that way with a lot of things that I was doing on the NLSC forums and that, like with all the jersey stuff and how obsessed I got with it. So I was trying to pin back. There was even a period where I tried to get banned to restrict myself.
Get away from it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, because it was getting pretty bad. And then
fame is a hell of a drug.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, but I think that was sort of Live 05 area, because I didn't do much in the way of patching for that. I was more just a player then. I mean, I did some things late in the transition to Live 06 and all that. But when Live 06 came out, I went balls out basically and just went all out.
Because you had those Dawner updates as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, yeah. And I did dip my toe in doing a couple of shoes, and I had some help from CK in regards to that. I did a couple of Reebok shoes from, because Zappos site had really great picks back then, and they still do. In fact, they have even better ones now. Where you could do like probably 4 or 5 times the resolution as you could now or could back then. So yeah, it was it was cool doing some of that stuff, and it was trying to learn some new techniques and all that in Photoshop and all that, and even in Illustrator. So that's essentially how I started, and it was cool because I got to meet a lot of people too. Like I've met a few members from the community now, so in person and that. So in fact, I just had a few drinks with a couple tonight, so it was all good.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about getting into it. I've been editing the game one way or another since 1997, when I discovered the NLSC, long before I was running it myself. And I remember the excitement because I was playing NBA Live 96 at the time on a 486 with a boot disc, so that I'd have enough memory for it to run, enough extended memory. Very old school here, you know. Now it's so easy with DOSBox. It's just ridiculously easy. But finding the editor that Tim and Brian made to edit all these things, and it's like, what, I can actually make Michael Jordan not be quote unquote created. He'll actually say drafted by the Bulls, third overall in 1984. I mean, that was it blew my mind.
That was the pinnacle moment right there.
It was. It changed the way I looked at gaming, and I guess really made me. What set me down the course of wanting to play on the PC as well as obviously as well as mod it, but actually be interested in the PC version because we could do all this stuff. And that, you know, even something as simple as that, because I created Michael Jordan even before I got online. The 1st of August that's just passed marks the 16th anniversary that I ever got online on the internet. So a rather obscure date anyway. And that's when I got on there and found the NLSC. Not even through Google back then; it was through Alta Vista.
Oh, that's gone way back.
Yeah. So and found that, and even before that, I was getting the preview magazines from Beckett and Jammin' and all the people that were doing the magazines at the time, and basketball magazines seem very antiquated now. And seeing the upcoming season previews, and such and such, the Bulls have picked up Robert Parrish for the 97 season, so trade him to the Bulls. And then you'd create missing players, and you'd create Michael Jordan, of course, because he wasn't in the game. But again, it shows up as how was he acquired? Oh, he was created, no draft info, no date of birth, anything like that. Other values that you can't edit within Create a Player. So yeah, when I actually found you could do that, it impressed me. It really impressed me, and I guess that's why I got into rosters. Also, there's no fiddling around with art files, although I have gotten a little bit into that in recent years. But yeah, just the way it enhanced the gaming experience.
Oh yeah,
basically, and that's. But yeah, that's how I got into it, and just was so impressed with what they'd done, and not only their rosters, but also that I could do it myself. And if there was something about their rosters that I didn't like, and they were fantastic rosters, and whatnot, but if there was a a rating I didn't agree with or whatever, or felt this or that, the tools were there to do it myself. So, yeah, and I've been doing rosters ever since.
So what makes you still want to do it now?
Addiction.
Again, cocaine is a hell of a drug.
The fame, the glory. I mean, I guess it's like you were saying, I'd like to be able to pass it on to somebody else and know that I've given them as much information as possible to do it, and that they've got the same passion and drive to do it. And as much as sometimes is that I flat out hate doing the rosters and complete them holding a figurative gun to my head to get them done in any semblance of a reasonable time frame, there's still something when I'm creating players and adjusting the rosters and getting it all and seeing it all come together and knowing it's updated and getting these great art updates from the community and saying, wow, this is a really old game, and yet these are the current jerseys, for example, thanks to, you know, all the guys that that make them on for the community and from the use in the rosters. Seeing it all come together, and yeah, there's just something special about it, and something, which sounds corny, I know, but something I really enjoy about it, something I really dig. So
it's magical.
Yeah,
and that's
it's hard to give it away.
I feel the same way with the street thing just now, with that. To see it come together. The game plays exactly how it's going to play just without the art right now.
Yeah.
And
you can see it come together, and you can see that the work in progress, and you think, this is something cool. People are going to like this. I can be proud of what I've done here and the creativity and the whole process and the troubleshooting and finding out how this works. And I referred to before the getting the Dream Team in NBA Live 2005, and a lot fiddling around with having to change the abbreviations because it wouldn't work the same way as all the other games did, and doing some conversions to finally get it to work, and thinking, oh, this is not going to work, and I'm not going to be able to actually give it to everyone 2005 through to 2008, and then it worked, and like, yes, and there's that feeling of triumph. And there's probably people in this world that are working on more noble causes. I will throw that out there it's as a possibility, but for our community, what we do, it feels special and it feels really good. And that feeling of accomplishment, I guess, is the reason you keep doing it.
You know,
it's certainly the reason I keep doing it.
You know what we should do for the end game for all the old NBA lives?
What's that?
We should convert the Ultimate Base roster in whole. All of the retro season, all of the retro seasons, everything into one single roster for NBA Live X, whatever. Every single one, every single thing. I mean, I'm talking like, because we had this idea for some 07, that failure.
Well, the NBA Live PC project for 06.
Yes,
that kind of turned into the Andrew updates the NLSC rosters project, which was a very familiar undertaking.
But I mean, I don't know. It's just funny because I get these ideas. I love the idea of patching like Live 04 and Live 05 and Live 06. I love the idea of patching these games, and they aged unfortunately really bad the past couple of years.
Yeah.
I really wish we got Live 09 on the PC because it is a much better version of 08. I mean, the PS2 version, even. I know we've talked about it briefly before.
The texturing was going back to the Live 06 quality.
It wasn't. But...
Yeah, I know. I know. Just because 07 and 08 were just visual ass. It was.
In a nutshell.
Yeah. No, it was. And it's funny to be able to compare 2K13 faces to that. But
well, yeah, you got Dwayne Wade looking like T-Mac.
But you get all these great ideas like that. Like let's do this.
It's not going to take too long. It's already done in 2K.
Yeah.
Do you remember the thousands of faces and the thousands of jerseys and the thousands of courts and arenas and making them all work together in the game? And you have to figure out a new sorting system with the logo files in the menu to make it so the player knows how much further they have to go to get to the 80s. And
what do you do to not overwrite things so that it'll work with the current rosters and,
exactly.
and things like that?
Or try and manually remove... Who was a player that died a few years ago and then people tried deleting him from the roster and it just caused mayhem?
Possibly
Eddie Griffin,
Collier. I thought. Eddie Griffin.
Yeah.
And it's just all of these... And what's funny is that these games aren't meant to be modded. I mean, you know, we can say Live 04 and Live 03 with the custom art feature were the most official modding things that we probably got other than the SGSM folder.
Yep.
But it's funny to realize that these games are not meant to be done like this, and that's why a majority of the mods that we have are literally just reskinning, and that's it. And then, you know, and then we venture into the retro updates, which are really nothing more than really advanced creative players reskinned. And then that's the entire, you know, mod, because, you know, we don't allow for the posting of EXE files, which then, you know, then we can't really get into the gameplay stuff because they don't have an external file like Live did for gameplay. So it's
what we really need. And if there's any programmers out there listening,
yeah, programmer, please.
apart from Leftos, back in the day, because again, I've been updating the game since the early days. Tim and it might have been Lutz made it a program called Patcher that actually, when you hex edited various parts of the EXE, it would take those changes, save them in a little patch file,
yes,
and then was able to apply them to the EXE file. Now, if we could get something like that and unofficially mod that,
that's what Nessa did. That has happened. Nessa.
Oh, that has happened.
The problem is it doesn't really do it the proper way, I guess is the best way to put it. You have to have a legitimate EXE to do it,
yep,
but it may or may not turn into an illegitimate EXE after it.
Okay.
And the problem with that is that the protection that the copy protection, which I know these are things to discuss about on a public podcast.
Yeah.
But I mean the thing.
It doesn't allow
EXE edits. Yeah. I can't right now. If I had a special EXE, I could have an EXE for NCAA and for NBA and for WNBA and for all these different mods, and they will all use different files instead of having to create different installation folders.
Which is what we used to do with the very old NBA lives.
Correct. I can also have it be like use global WNBA instead of global NBA. You know, the files.
Exactly.
That...
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
oh, we do that too. We actually, you'd have the, you used to use the roster file roster.dat, and
yes,
you change it to roster.s96 for the 96 season, or s97 for the 97 season, things like that. So,
I actually remember that. changing
the pointers, you know,
so
like that, yeah.
Like, but, you know, and it's that gray area that we have to hold because of that really, it's not a gray line, it's a black and white line with, you know, that the piracy aspect of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, the only reason that, you know, I didn't step in with Nessa's program is because it does require a legitimate EXE to do it. It doesn't work with the pirated ones.
Yeah.
So that's why I haven't, you know, dropped the banhammer, which sucks because he has done great things. He made the moving uniforms tighter and changes the ball physics and changes some of the gameplay aspects that even Michael Lutz, I think his name was doing in the previous years, and also the infamous John Doe that we love so much, was doing in previous years. And, you know, the part of the frustration is with me, like I said, you know, open source. I'd like to be able to do that stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, they didn't share the information. Nessa has kept his cards close. Although it wouldn't be too hard to change one, change another, and then to compare. But at the same time, we can't, I mean, someone would have to create a patcher thing like Nessa already has. It's just patching is such a give and take thing.
Yeah.
Because at one point I could do amazing things with my game, but I don't because I know it would be too difficult to distribute to other people. It is hard enough to have people try to find their saves folder. But I like helping people customize their game.
Yeah.
So, why can't they just go to my documents? Leftos.
Yeah. The I actually capturing a couple of screenshots for the Friday Five. And there's that cheap plug. Yep. I actually grabbed your replay indicator remover,
mm-hmm,
and I was adding it. And as I was thinking it, thinking to myself as I'm adding it, you know, it was so much better in NBA Live when we had the SGSM folder organized.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And because you've got all the files just in the NBA 2K13 game folder, so I've got to scroll down through all of them to find, okay, so we could rename.
At least they're labeled.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's just a far better organized. Like, I miss that SGM or SGSM folder.
SGSM, yeah.
You know, that And how you can have everything personalized for each individual player, from their shoes, their accessories, even practice custom jerseys and all that stuff, where they could individually wear. It didn't have to be
that was a render folder. That wasn't
that is true. Yeah, custom art.
Yeah, method. Yeah, that was the glory days in a lot of ways. That was freaking fantastic.
Oh, and yeah. Ben, to counter a couple things you said, you guys don't like the changeover to the numbers for the jerseys for Live 07 and 08.
No, I hated.
Yeah, that. You know what? I loved it.
What?
One uniform file, 100 uniforms I could have for each player with a different number.
Yeah,
do you remember that?
I'd prefer it in the SGS.
Oh, I know.
Format. So if it was done like that, it would have been better. But I don't know, like, especially considering how nasty the numbering in Live 07 and 08 in PC was, how it had that nasty black edging, like it was a mm-hmm. bad animated or bad GIF image, you mm-hmm. know, that ruined it for me. And yeah, it just it couldn't be cleaned up enough for my liking.
You know what doesn't have that stuff? Nice roster databases.
You know, it's going to be interesting.
They just have other errors that, like, code base errors that just crash the game.
Yeah.
For no reason whatsoever.
Yeah. Seemingly.
At least Live told you what crashed.
To Microsoft/the NSA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Send, don't send.
Yeah. One thing I'd love to see if EA would ever do is release a little patch for Live 05 and 06 where it could enable it to go widescreen.
Oh.
Didn't somebody figure out a hack for that?
If they did, please send it my way.
All we did was change the resolution. Pat did it. You can change the resolution to actually render at 1920 by 1080 if you want it to.
Okay.
But it just stretches it.
Okay.
It doesn't.
Because, right. Yeah, my monitor that I mainly use for my computer is what is it, a 1680 by 1050, so it's just the size below 1080p. I mean, I could always convert it or just hook up my 27-inch TV monitor that I play my PS3 onto it.
But so, it just stretches it, though. It pisses me off.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you'd be better off just, you know, adding the black bars. But, yeah. And that's what sucks, because we know that the PS2 versions of the game had widescreen support with progressive scan.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's like, why can't we get it?
Let's go burn down HB Studios. Where are they?
We'll edit that part out.
Sorry, Microsoft already sent that to the NSA.
Hey, this is a Skype call.
It is too, so yeah. Expect the black choppers and black vans outside your door in about 10 minutes.
We're at least out of the country, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to remember, I'm in the middle of Vermont, so I got probably another 10 minutes on top of that.
Distracted by another maple syrup stand. Yeah. Man, this is a beautiful country.
He just covers himself in maple syrup as a disguise.
Actually, I did think that when I was watching the introductory video to season 2 of Fly, Fat Boy, Fly, you come up over the ridge, John,
yep.
And just used to get the view of all the trees and everything. It's like, yeah, that's I see what you're talking about, Vermont. I see what I get it. Should I say?
That's why I get it.
Yeah,
because people were like, you know, a couple of comments were like, "Oh my god, you're doing vlogs now." It's like, no. It's just, I say I'm from Vermont. I don't think you guys really understand what Vermont is.
That was
a gorgeous, gorgeous day though.
Yeah, clouds. Absolutely.
And the first comment on that one, hey, why don't you mod this into 2K13?
What, the trees? Or...
The court. The
Oh, okay, yeah.
And it's like with the clouds and everything, it's like, just stop. I don't want to go home.
I don't want to be here anymore.
It's just... Oh no, guys. I don't know why the hell I mod. I've been ridiculed by my friends and family for so long. The joke is, oh my god, I made the shorts longer. I'm talking to my wife about 2K14 and NBA Live 14 and how, you know, what's going to be like on next gen and, you know, all the features I'm going to be able to do with Ustream and all this stuff. And then she looks at me completely dead face and goes, but can you make the shorts longer? And it's all because when I was working at the CD game movie store, 6 years ago or so, and it was for Live 07, and Pat figured out how to, through hex editing, import the player model into an arena file so we could edit it. And the first thing I did was just click the bottom of those shorts and lower it just a little bit in EBO edit, and or EBO edit, whatever you want to call it. And I flipped so much over it. It was such a minor little thing. The shorts were a little bit longer. I made the biggest deal in the world about it. I was talking about it at work. I was talking about it to freaking customers, to my girlfriend, my then girlfriend, my wife now, and to friends. I even mentioned to my freaking parents. So proud over such a little thing. And
it was the hot topic at Thanksgiving that year.
Yes. And it just ruined it every which way. And so, like, when we got 2K9 and we got the, or 2K10 and we got the mod tool that actually let us export models and everything, first thing I go for is the static shorts. Go my wife in, baby, look it. And, like, the shorts are down. I think I saw the screenshot of Chauncey Billups with these, like, capris on.
And, pants.
And she just looked at me and said, oh, God, they figured out 3D editing, didn't they? Hot Pockets, please.
Well, that's, you know what they say, the wives and girlfriends of artists and modders alike put up with a lot.
And modders alike, yeah. And
actually,
it sucks because
I remember trying to show and explain the NLSC and all that stuff to an ex-girlfriend of mine. This is sort of when I was getting into it, really, like, pretty hardcore at the stage. And yeah, just sort of explaining it. And one night she was asleep for a little bit. And yeah, I just remember just jumping on and sort of doing some like modding before going back to bed because I couldn't sleep. So yeah, good times.
Yeah, I win that conversation. Before we started dating, we were at college. My, you know, current wife, she came up to the room. We were just kind of hanging out, and there was nothing on TV. All the movies we watched, you know, we didn't like. This is before we were dating and, you know, doing stuff. So none of that was happening. We were just kind of hanging out.
Yeah, I was trying to keep it PG too, so I didn't want to say why she was asleep.
And all of a sudden, I was just like, "So, you want to see what I do for fun?" And I loaded up my NBA Live 06 tutorial on creating your customs arenas, and I had her do one. And
she was the one.
I still remember the looks of just complete, like, this is what you do. But I mean, in comparison to people who were out, you know, drinking and doing drugs and, like, getting into trouble with the law and stuff, someone who plays and modifies video games kind of in a good light in comparison to all the other stuff you can do in boring old Vermont.
If you're tired of dating all these losers,
go for the loserest of the losers. But it's weird because, like, I'm, you know, I played basketball in college. You know, I was always a jock, I guess, but always a nerd. It's the stupidest little line, and
you're a Judd.
It's so stupid though, and then you compare it to what we do to other games.
Or,
so, like, even that BeamNG game, you know, people are making their own cars that they can destroy, and their own, you know, environments they can do it in. Or you have, like, the DayZ mod. Or, do you guys say Zed or do you go DayZ?
Oh, Zed.
Yeah, okay, DayZ mod. I'll be nice to you. Or you have, like, all the stuff they do with programming in Minecraft, and the guy who's taken the Fuel game and completely updated it. All of these games, their mods are, they seem to be completely different than ours. Like, yeah. Like I said, ours basically comes down to advanced creative players, advanced creative team, and reskinning the game. Yep. We're not adding zombies that attack, you know, we're not turning the crowd members into zombies and editing their animation files to come after Paul Pierce as he runs away from Boston. I mean, it's...
We're not creating new games, adding new missions, new character. Well, we are adding new characters, but not in the same way.
Our opportunity for that. Our opportunity for that was with the greatest games last year. And that mode was hard-coded through and through.
Mm.
We couldn't touch it. And it's disheartening to realize how limited our official support is. And it's understandable.
The NBA... thing, with the licensing and everything, yeah.
I mean, do you think the NBA really wants to deal with Mortal Kombat, DC, and Marvel superheroes all being in the game and the licensing that goes with that?
Well, considering the NBA wasn't happy with Midway putting Mortal Kombat characters in NBA Jam back in the day, I'm guessing.
Yeah. So.
Sub-Zero for three.
He's on fire. Wait a minute, but he's ice.
Scorpion, he's on fire. He just pulls his mask off, and yeah, he is on fire now. Toasty.
Yes,
he lights it up from half court.
You do look around at some of the other, even the dare I say it, Commander Keen modding community that still exists, making changing those games and actually creating new sagas, new chapters. I guess they kind of have to work with the maps and everything they have, but even that, you got some storytelling, and I suppose it's just the genre of games. I'm still proud of what we can do. I mean, I know where you're coming from. You're not trying to disparage what we're doing, but we've done some pretty good things, and certainly with the animation, the AI Act mods and things like that, and actually taking animations out of like March Madness and putting them into the PC version. That stuff's pretty cool, and changing those assignments.
Yeah. Just before before we move on to topic, I remember before I actually started doing stuff at the NLSC, before I knew of the site and that, I was actually modifying Delta Force Black Hawk Down.
Okay.
That was how I started my modding days.
That is an awesome game, by the way.
That was a lot of fun to play. And the funny thing is that was a Work for the Doll project. That's all we did for 6 months was play that game. That was so cool.
I thought you were going to tell me that you tell us that you made Doom maps.
For when I started my modding, I was customizing Hummers and weapons and all that stuff, and I think I was starting to get into the map building aspect of it sort of later on because I was sort of new to it at this stage. So yeah, I think I was looking at creating my own custom maps, and because we'd import all these custom built ones, and when we play all this LAN stuff for like 7.5 hours for like 2 days and all that. So yeah, it was great 6 months. And you know, we'd have like the Pizza Hut 50 meters away from where we were working and that, so we'd ring up on the phone, order it, and then 5 minutes before it's ready, head down. We were so regular customers, we were getting like free garlic breads and all that stuff, so
score.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, that kind of modding, custom maps and everything, really, really gives you an appreciation, I think, of game designers when they have to actually make levels that are logical and fun and challenging and actually entertaining to play. Because I remember using a Need for Speed mod back in the day, or a Need for Speed editor rather, just to make the world's longest straight track. Just to downhill, just to see how fast I could get the car to go. Over 600 miles, by the way.
Nice.
But yeah,
you guys talking about different games just made me remember that my first modding was The Sims 1.
Oh, really? Wow.
And what I did was I took the basketball hoop that was in The Sims 1 and I turned it into the same style hoop that I had in my front yard. With a chain net and everything. And I just did a search on Google for my old username, and I missed the first response to it is grab towels for Duke BB Rules, that was my old name, and this other person who have wet their pants because we just saw the first Sims 2 screenshots. But that was just a bitmap image that you just edited, and that was because The Sims 1 was just that isometric game. So, I don't know, I was trying to find the actual, when I actually did the mod, but it's just weird to think back that far and remember where it all came from. Because, I mean, the first mod that I did at the NLSC, the first post I did was a mod, making every team selectable for the All-Star game in NBA Live 2005, because I like the off-the-backboard oop.
Who'd have thought?
Did
not see that coming.
It's just...
I remember for a custom Hummer that I did and all that for this Blackhawk Down game, you know, I had my Dragon logo. I mean, it was pretty much just straight off a font, but I had that as the chrome wheels.
Mm.
So, and, you know, do the whole, you know, it's spinning, Chris Rocket's spinning sort of rant and all that.
Yeah.
So that was good fun. And then do, a little Huey Blackhawk, little Huey helicopter and all that stuff. So much good time sort of customizing that.
You know, before we wrap up, I thought we could perhaps talk about a little bit more about failed mods.
Mine never failed.
But not so much, but the ideas that went nowhere. Because we brought that up, we touched on it very briefly. Again, you have all these great ideas, but you've got to make all the faces,
yeah,
for example, or something holds you back. I had this idea for NBA Live 07 for a custom roster based on... Lutz used to make really, as well as the current rosters, he'd make all these fun rosters back for NBA Live 95, because obviously you just picked from the head shapes that were in the game and assigned them, so there wasn't a lot of custom art to do. So we had teams with Beavis and Butthead and such. And incredibly, instead of Years Pro, he changed their Years Pro to IQ. And fun stuff like that. Then he had like the Married with Children cast in Chicago and everything like that. And so I was gonna make a roster called That's Entertainment for NBA Live 07. I'd even made like the cast of MASH, because I'm a big fan of MASH. made them, and I was going to have them, and I'd even had all their nicknames there. So I had Benjamin Franklin Pierce and nickname Hawkeye in the database and everything, and his fictional hometown of Crab Apple Cove, Maine. All that stuff I'd done and got through a few teams, and like, oh, someone's going to make the faces for this.
Yeah.
And so it never really went anywhere. But things like, yeah, you just get ideas and, oh, this would be fun. I even had the Jackass team, actually. I had Team Jackass in there.
That's awesome.
And I'd love to resurrect it, especially if I can do one of the jam mods, get a couple of special teams in there. Not so many. I mean, 30 teams of special teams, you're looking at a few too many faces. Some at least got to be generic. And I've thought about adding more, like you said, ultimate base roster teams to the current rosters, but it's all... it's all time, and you spend as much time on them already,
mm-hmm.
and it's, again, getting all the art so that it's done properly, because if you half-ass it, it's, you might as well not do it.
And unfortunately, that's true, because I've done that a lot, and it's funny how each year around this time I go, finally, the Redditor's been updated. I can do anything I want for Blacktop and Street Mods, and I can do this, I can do that, I can do this. And then I do nothing because I just wait for the next game. I'll just do it for the next game. Vlad will take less time this year. And then, you know, I find out the files aren't compatible or one thing or another. The current idea, and by the way, I was serious about converting Ultimate Base Roster. That's how stupid I am with this stuff.
I'd love to do it, but it's the commitment, isn't it?
Yeah, it
is.
It's fun.
And playing the old game, it'd be more of a... just doing the database just so we could, and then just release it and say, if you guys want this, everyone's got generic faces. But, you know, we'd be late to the party because that guy did it in the Live 04 forums. There's some guy making all those rosters, remember?
That's right.
FIFA Dog.
Yeah.
He did all that. But anyway.
Well, you know, Notorious Bayegg, I think, is he's made some retro updates, and Pat the Head has got some retro art packs. So, I mean, again, if we're all agreeing to be open source... this could be possible.
But
so,
I don't want to play the old game.
Yeah,
I'm not even playing 2K15 right now. I'm playing Street. But
I haven't touched...
because you don't want to play the old game.
Yeah.
So. But the idea, I announced this to my subscribers stupidly because I don't want to do it. Everyone wants me to do a My Career, and I hate My Career. I want to be in the D League. I don't want to be a star.
You can just play My Career badly.
Or I could just play 2K10. I have it installed. It's just,
who knows? You might be able to unlock the Adam Morrison trophy or achievement.
But
we know Kenny, formerly Bad Religion AU, did the Kwame Brown training challenge. So.
Well, that was my idea. I can do a custom schedule in Redditor and have it be that I just have my one team never be a home team and never finish the season so it doesn't crash. And then I play one game against the other 30 teams, and I could go even further and add in the special teams because I'm modifying the schedule like that. And have as many teams as I want, play them once on away courts. Start off with my empty base gym court, and then move on to a gym with a couple more players, and then move into an outdoor court with like a small crowd gathered, and then move on to the Drew League, and then move on to the EBC at Rucker. And have it be a linear thing like that, and every time I win a game, I can make a trade with the other team. And the way I was going to say, well, what am I going to have for other teams? Am I going to randomly generate each one of these teams, which I can do? And I was like, no, how about I take an NBA player going from terrible to best, take their ratings, and then average them with the beginning My Career templates for ratings. So I averaged like Chris Anderson's ratings with a point guard, so that we'll have a point guard with above average blocking, but he's still a point guard.
Yep.
And have that be for each game, and you know, then I can trade and do the NBA Street thing where, you know, you win, you pick up one of their players, and slowly progress for the YouTube channel and for, you know, my own dynasty and fun for other people, I'm sure too, and do it in creating a legend mode. And I had all these ideas out. All I have to do is make 6 courts. I have uniforms ready. I can make generated players off the tip of my finger. And I'm just going like, I'd rather just get my Rock Band 3 keyboard working on the computer and make some music.
It's funny because I was actually going to suggest, and you beat me to the punchline, I was going to suggest that you get all the intro for NBA 2K13 My Career, build it up, and then, much like a Rickroll, it just switches to you playing Rock Band on the couch.
Just... in your underwear.
Clothing optional, but it just...
slow motion. Watch as I vibrate with the music.
Let me jiggle to rhythm.
Now, if you do that, I think your subscribers are either going to decline or go through the roof. It's one or the other.
You know what's funny? I've actually noticed, I've looked at a couple of like embarrassing videos, not for me, but for other channels. And it seems like if they do something embarrassing like that, the view count for that video goes through the roof because it's viral and, oh my God, it's funny. But the subscriber base goes down.
I'll watch it, but I won't support you with subscription. Yes.
Well, I can never see him again.
Except then it's on every single forum all over the internet because of the viral nature of the video.
But what's funny is that since I'm trying to be so unique with my YouTube and having that be my thing, that I'm just a unique person. I have all this knowledge. I can do these great things like the pickup series with the game and all of these different ideas I have. And the PC is unique and compared to the other games too, or versions, I should say. And I want that to be my staple of just being unique. I don't want to do a My Career when everyone else under the frickin' sun on YouTube is doing a My Career.
Yeah.
And I'm lazy, so I don't want to do highlight videos and do a redub of my voice after. I want it to be live commentary. I press F9 once. I record. I press F9 again. I run it through VDub. I upload it to YouTube. Bing, bam, done. I mean, but I want it to be unique too, and I don't want to take all the time to do all the editing. So I've actually been kind of noticing that I've been caring more about the YouTube and having more fun with it than I am modding.
Okay.
And it's part of that uniqueness, I think, that I like about it, because I've kind of done everything I can do with 2K13. I don't care. I'm not going to attempt animation editing again. I'm done with it. I tried it last year. I'm not going back to it. I want to make courts, but I just haven't been into it. I really wanted to get the street thing done, and I feel great, but I've done my job. I'm not a Photoshop GIMP guy. I can't make those textures like Ben can, so I'm not even going to try. So I want to move on to things I can do. And if I'm not feeling motivated to do courts for street mods and creating a legend showcases and all this kind of crap, then maybe I should just, you know, move on to more fun things or remember that I have a family. You know what I mean? It's just, I've just gotten to the point lately, and maybe this is just the summer blues for me, because I do kind of go through these trends with the game. But nothing, and this modding till 2 a.m. crap needs to stop. I would much rather just kind of lay in bed and throw something on Netflix than...
Yeah.
Like the first season of Arrested Development.
I was the same. Like, I think I was up modding till like 6 a.m. a lot of times, and I was like, yeah, I need to cut this shit back.
Well, Ben and I are currently podcasting until 2 o'clock in the morning, yeah. So that's...
All right. I stay up for 40 hours watching the E3 conferences.
And fall asleep during the podcast.
Yes.
And here I am, like, it's getting near noon. I'm kind of hungry.
The sacrifices we make for our loyal listeners, I tell you.
We hope you appreciate it, damn it.
Yeah. With our weird and wonderful stories. Actually, the other thing that I will make someday, either for 2K or one of the NBA Lives, is a Fallout practice court.
Okay. I can do that.
Just for the ridiculousness of it, just having the Brotherhood of Steel.
And I want to do that. I want to do stupid stuff like that. I want to make little things like the Fly Fat Boy Fly courts and all these little ideas like that. I want to make those because I can.
Yeah.
Actually, I remember one
implement. I don't want to.
I remember that one of those mods that me and someone else were trying to attempt because I suggested it and dude got hooked on it, like on the idea. And I can't remember who his name was. It was a long time ago. Then
Jaws Ming?
No, I don't think it was you. I think.
Bort.
I think it was a Canadian dude.
Cameron?
I can't remember. We were trying to do the MJ's home court, like Jordan's practice court that he has in his own house. And we're like going to do the one before it was built indoors.
Hmm.
And we're going to have like his house in the background and all that stuff. And we're going to try and mod that. That was
NBA.
Yeah, it was for the street aspect or the practice arena and all that, outdoor court and all that. But yeah, we're going to totally try and modify it to be Michael Jordan's house. So yeah, that was, I don't know, weird, crazy idea that I had. And I even did like this whole Dorna advertising of a Nike technology where they use the soles of old shoes and they resurface the court with it, so that rubbery sort of so you're not jumping on concrete and all that stuff. I did a whole Donner for that. Yeah, it's kind of started and got a little bit done, but then it just, I can't remember what happened. It just died in the ass.
So stay tuned for all these wonderful mods that we're talking about now.
Coming to you sometime, whenever the hell, just before we die.
Like, motivate me though. I really do. I really wish I could just be like I really wish I could hold myself to like a YouTube thing where I say, okay, you guys, I have 1 hour to create a court. Here we go. And then I create a court like in time lapse and have it be fun like that. But it's not fun. Creating courts is the most terrible thing you can do to yourself. It's not. Databases are much worse.
Yeah, rosters.
which game is easier to modify course for, the older Lives or 2K?
In which way?
Just time and their techniques and just general overall.
Well, I've made practice courts and courts for NBA Lives, so I'm guessing NBA Lives is easier if I can do that.
I'm going to say Live.
If I can make courts for Live,
yeah.
I'm going to say Live, even though you can't do as much, it is easier. And thanks to SGSM just how much easier it all is with FishX and having databases just be DBF files.
That's true.
It's much easier, but you can't do this. The quality is better on 2K. Not just the quality of the, you know, visually, but the quality of work I think is better on 2K. It's just more difficult.
Okay. All right.
So did you guys hear about Michael Beasley?
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
And the Suns are going to probably waive him because of it, according to Brett Poirier of the NBA.
Well, if the Bulls are looking to pick up, you know, they can have the number one and number two picks of the 2008 draft.
And, yeah,
Greg Oden, of course, to the Heat.
Yep.
Carl.
Who plays more games this year, Andrew Bynum or Greg Oden?
Greg Oden.
Cool, Greg Oden, okay.
Yeah, I'll second that. I mean, I reckon the Heat will be smart. They'll probably really monitor his minutes, and I think they're more just saving for the playoffs. I think he'll probably get like 10 minutes of play, especially the beginning part of the season. They might spread out to like 15, 20 minutes. But
do you think that Bynum and Oden combine for 82 games in the season between them?
No. I think that Greg Oden will get sick for one game and miss it, and I think Bynum won't play at all. No, I would really love to see Greg Oden be healthy, but I'd rather him be healthy in a different uniform. and Bynum, I was so psyched for the Cavs this year until Bynum. I was like, you poor bastards.
He just gone ahead and ruined it for you as well. And they could get close to the combining for the full 82 games, but yeah. Just seeing the picture of Malone, he's not as overweight as I thought he might be.
Karl Malone went fishing with Enes Kanter.
Yes, but I showed a picture of Jordan to Andrew the other night, and I know Jordan's new wife is putting in work because I haven't seen Jordan in that good shape for a while, but could also be Tim Grover as well. Helping him out, getting back into some shape, because he's looking like there could be another comeback on the.
I was gonna say let the comeback rumors. Yeah. swirl.
Yeah, but for someone that's 51, 52 this year or this year coming.
Just turned 50 in March.
Yeah, so
February, I should know.
Yeah,
that.
February 17th. So
then Barkley 3 days later on the 20th.
So yeah, it'd be. I know it's good seeing him back in shape because Jordan did put on a little bit of weight, but yeah, obviously he had to lose some for the wedding, and he's looking slimmer. So yeah, I know you could be following Andrew's routine or the new wife or Tim Grover, the Tim Grover effect.
Well, you know, he did say when he was inducted into the Hall of Fame in that much maligned speech that people take way out of context because everyone likes to criticize him because, you know, destroyed all their favorite teams for 70 years. you know, don't be surprised if you see me on the court at 50, and he's 50 now, so, well, yeah, I'd rather, you know.
He could help the Bobcats, though.
Yeah.
Well, he apparently schooled Michael Kidd-Gilchrist in practice, so... And as he reliably told Jay Leno a couple of years ago, yes, I can still dunk. Are you stupid?
And... well, D. Brown can still dunk because he did a thing at Rucker Park just a few weeks ago. Obviously, trying to re-promote the Reebok pumps and all that stuff that he wore during the dunk contest. And yeah, he was throwing it down for his age.
Have you seen the Vine video of Dr. J dunking in his 60s?
No, I haven't.
I did see that.
Yeah. He's still, I mean, I'm guessing he can't make the free throw line anymore, but, you know, he got some decent height on that, I thought. You know, kept yourself in good condition, and there's a lot of athleticism to lose. I mean, for him to come down to regular, come back down to earth, so to speak, considering what the others would lose. But as we find ourselves just wrapping up the podcast with some NBA discussion here, the schedule has been released for the new season.
They hate
season.
The Celtics. the Celtics have, I think it was 20 back-to-back games. I think it was like six of them were home and homes with another team, or three or six of them were home and homes. But in December, they do one game at Brooklyn, I believe. And then the next day, they have the Clippers coming, visiting Boston. And it's just kind of like, yeah, so I'm going to just start crying in December for no reason.
Andrew Wiggins.
Andrew Wiggins!
That's overrated. The reward. That's the reward.
Controversial.
That's the reward for the season for you.
The Bulls and the Heat are going to open the season against one another. It's that rivalry...
Oh, especially since Derrick Rose says he's the best player in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, I must respectfully disagree, as much as he is my favorite player, current active player. But I like his confidence, you know, and he's not obviously not mentally broken, as some people in the forum have suggested. still can't believe that's stupidity. So again, what did you say, 84 days?
Yep, 84 days.
Yep, from when we're recording this. And it really can't come around quick enough. I guess I shouldn't say that because that'll bring on October, which means I turn 29, which is one step closer to 30.
It's all downhill from there.
Well, thank you. It's good to know. it has turned into a very quiet off-season where the lead topics are which team that Greg Oden has decided to sign with. We've reached that point of the off season. Like, well, yeah, can we at least have preseason or something? So, something to talk about.
Hello, anybody there?
don't make us mod and a fictional league. What would happen if we ran all the teams? Yeah. Suddenly, Boston and Chicago have just got all these great players that no one would ever give up for the peanuts that we've given them. Here, take Boozer. Thanks. Yeah, but I guess we are running low on topics. It's been fun.
We
certainly
sobered up an hour ago, so it's like an hour and a half ago. So it's like, damn it.
We were in a very silly mood before the podcast started, ladies and gentlemen. We references to Scarface and everything. We're flying about in the pre-show that unfortunately I don't have recordings of.
The lost tapes.
Yeah.
We'll have to contact the NSA about getting those back.
Yeah.
Actually, I believe Nike representatives confiscated the tape, much like George Crawford.
Yes.
Well done on that one.
Yeah. But either of you guys have anything else you want to bring up before we put a nice big bow on this one?
I think she's good to go.
Okay, then.
Modding, well, not even once.
Modding.
Once.
Well, you know, since it is 2 o'clock, I will be staying up for a couple of hours to mod the podcast. But,
maybe we can convince Chris and Lean to mod the forums.
Oh, terrible. But I guess we have reached the end of another fun episode of the NLSC podcast. We encourage you, of course, to subscribe on iTunes and Blueberry if you happen to check out that listing as well. If you want to get it delivered fresh to your door every single week, or your computer rather, not so much your door, unless you're still ordering it on CD.
And we assure you it's not in a brown paper bag burning.
Yeah. In fact, if you are already ordering it on CD or indeed vinyl, we're not seeing a dollar of that money. But subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't let our rambling for the last 10 minutes put you off. keep it locked to NBA-live.com, where we post mods and news and all other kinds of things. Mods, as we've talked a little bit about tonight, here and there. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/thenlsc. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thenlsc. Once again, the NLSC is NBA-live.com, where all the fun stuff happens in the forum and otherwise. So, I'm Andrew. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you. I got the munchies.
You haven't just been drinking, have you? And, and thank you, John.
Who told you? I mean.
and
this
we'll
is
see
why
you
we'll
all
never do this as a video cast.
I keep my pants on in this version.
I swear, I just looked that way naturally. It's.
and they never tuned in again. See you next week, guys.